Okay, so as I was saying, I work on the client apps team. So pretty much anything that extends the outside of the browser is under the purview of my team. And pretty much everything we work on is also open source. So Atom is probably, in terms of like the size of the community, Atom is our largest open source product, I think. Second, I think, would be Electron. And they've been pretty successful. Someone mentioned here VS Code is also built on Electron. Facebook has Nuclide, which is built on Atom. And we're trying to work with these other teams. We're actually talk regularly with the Nuclide team about trying to upstream some of their features into Atom. We're working on getting an Electron sort of a mini summit where we get a bunch of contributors, so we'll have people from Slack, Microsoft, whatever, come over and meet and talk about the future of Electron. And hopefully we'll we're also trying to think through what is the right governance model for Electron. So we've talked about ideas of having a consortium or a foundation or joining a foundation. These are all discussions that we're currently happening among the maintainers. We're not really talking about this stuff publicly just yet, but we know that some companies or some contributors are wary of contributing to code that is owned by a single entity versus something that's more community owned. And so that's something that we're really cognizant of and aware of. I mean, I think we're fortunate that we have a brand that people generally trust, so that for now we can kind of be good maintainers of it. But imagine that if you come from Microsoft, like you have a little bit of a hill to climb in that. I think you've done very well, but I say this as a former Microsoftie. I used to work on ASP.MVC and NuGet, and which were open source as well, and witness firsthand the challenges of getting the community to not look at you with suspicion. So what I had hoped to show you was some of the client products, which is one of the projects we're building is an extension to Visual Studio that brings some of the power of GitHub inside of the editor. We know that's pretty popular among the Microsoft audience to stay within the IDE and never leave, and much like Hotel California. But what we're doing there is that's a kind of a partnership with the Visual Studio team, and we've been working very closely with them to make that happen. We just recently shipped the version that brings pull requests within the IDE, so that you can kind of list your pull requests, double-click it, check out that PR branch. One of the cool things that that my team's trying to do more and more is really bridge the gap between GitHub.com and the client. So today, it's not really noticeable, but today if you have the desktop client or the Visual Studio extension installed, and you go to GitHub.com and you're looking at like a repository, there's a button where you can click and say, oh, I want to clone this to my machine, and use a URL protocol handler, launches a Visual Studio or desktop, depending on which one you click, and pulls the code right into your, right into your client. And the hope is, we actually have a protocol handler for pull requests. So if you're looking at a pull request, you're like, I want to try that code out, you can click it. If you have desktop, it'll pull it in. Visual Studio doesn't yet support that, but that's the kind of thing that we're talking to Visual Studio about. We've even talked to VS Code about, having them support that. On the Atom side, that again, it's similar to VS Code. We're really focused on extensibility, so you pretty much have access to everything, but we're realizing that that also creates some performance problems in terms of you have access to everything and people are extending things directly, so we're trying to find the right balance between proper APIs and editing everything. And that's been a lot of fun, and what's really been interesting about the Atom project is we're learning firsthand some of the things that maybe many of you have experienced for a long time about the difficulties of managing a very large, very active open source project on GitHub. And so that's kind of feeding into GitHub.com's planning. I think I talked about Electron. And then desktop is, desktop, we have a GitHub for Mac and GitHub for Windows client. So that's really focused on people who maybe don't really understand Git or GitHub that well, really want to just get their code up there. We try to streamline the workflow. We really focus on what we call the GitHub flow, which is create a branch, do some work, submit a pull request, rinse, recycle, repeat. And we're doing a lot of work there. We for Windows users, we actually package Git because it used to be a real pain to get a Git command line on your machine. That's actually improved a lot recently with Git for Windows, where we've been working with them. Like we contributed to the Git credential manager, which now ships in there. And yeah, that's been great. On GitHub.com, some of the features we've shipped recently were you can request reviewers now to. Well, first of all, we did code review, which is something that has been a long time request. So rather than every comment sending an email, get a thumbs up here. Now you can kind of group and bunch up your code review. We just added requested reviewers, where you can say, "Hey, I'd like you specifically to review this code." Trying to think of and on the open source side, we have an open source kind of outreach team that just published a bunch of guides to doing open source, and the guides themselves are of course themselves open source. So I highly recommend taking a look at them, providing feedback, submitting PRs, and. I guess the last thing I should mention is, if you run into any kind of problems using GitHub for what you're doing, I know, people often tell you, email support at github.com, and you're like, where is that going? Is that some sort of black box or some overseas team that isn't associated with us? That actually goes right to, our core team. We have a support team, you'll go to a human, and they'll route it to the right people to actually look at it. Doesn't mean that we'll actually fix that issue, but it does mean that the person responsible for that area will see it, and they'll know that this is a problem for them. I know a lot of folks here at Microsoft have been very good about submitting a lot of issues to support, and we hear it. It's taking us time to get to it, but code review is kind of an example of the type of thing where I heard a lot from Microsoft, can you make it more like CodeFlow, because this is too hard. And so it's not quite CodeFlow, but it's a step in the right direction. I think with that, I don't really have any specific topics to talk about. I was going to show some demos, but you can't see them. So any questions?
Can we get U2F or GitHub Desktop?
You want to get, YubiKey support?
Yeah.
For GitHub Desktop. Send an email to support at GitHub. Yeah. But so we do support that on .com, right?
And yeah,
so,
you have to use Chrome.
But you have to use Chrome, oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I think that would be the type of thing that we actually want to support at some point. Any other questions?
So you've had your share of outages, but as a service, you're pretty dang reliable, all in all.
Thank you.
Can you talk a little bit about what your corporation does to ensure reliability for its users?
So the question is, what do we do to ensure reliability for our users? Some of the stuff we're doing that we're building out, I can't actually talk about, but by using those terms, you could probably guess. We have, other than that, we have, I don't work on the .com side up a lot, but we have a fairly sizable team that's really focused on that area. In particular, one of the, it's funny because a lot of the things I can't talk about because once you start talking about it, that gives the attackers more info and how to attack us, right? But in terms of we use certain services for DDoS attacks, to help mitigate those things. And we have a pretty great security team that's doing a lot to ensure that security vulnerabilities aren't the thing that take us out. So just recently we talked about how we're deprecating outdated cryptographic protocols, so TLS 1.2 and below, and then SHA-1, as we all heard about that, right? So SHA-1 is, we're going to deprecate that. So what else are we doing? So mainly we're doing that, but I think the biggest thing that we do is we try to maintain a healthy retrospective approach to things and being transparent about that. So when we do have an outage, you'll know about it. It's really interesting, recently, GitLab had an outage, and it was a pretty rough one for them, and you know, we felt their pain because it was really interesting. It's about 6 years into their lifespan, and if you look through GitHub's archive, 6 years into our lifespan, our CEO dropped our data production database and had an outage. In fact, he's done it twice. So like, you know, it's like the kind of thing, it can happen to everyone, but like we've, you know, because we did this many years ago, we've learned from those mistakes, and so we've, you know, put a lot more effort into those mitigations. So, you know, we have automated tests of backups and restore, which, if, you know, if you don't have a restore, then you really don't have a backup, right? So, we have a team that's dedicated, that's called High Availability. So they're kind of dedicated to handling this stuff. And if I had someone from there, they could probably talk in more detail about it. But it's one of the things that was a huge criticism. We basically wanted to remove that stigma from GitHub, so it's become a